pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise your name because you are God. You are the King of the universe. And we've gathered this morning to worship you. We've gathered together knowing that your Holy Spirit will be in our midst and will speak to us and will show us what is your will. Because we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Title of my sermon, A True Messenger. In a time where you turn on the TV and you put on one channel, it tells you one thing. Turn on the other channel, it tells you another. You ask yourself, who has the truth? Sound bites. Say things that sound, that's what they were saying, but then you put it in context and it's nothing like what it was all about. And the book of Malachi presents us a message of truth. Do you believe it, brother and sister? Amen? The book of Malachi has a message for us who live in these times, difficult times, where we're asking ourselves, who can we believe? Who can we trust? Who will show us the way to God and to salvation? During Sabbath school this morning, we were talking about leaders and how some of them have led well their people and others have not. And I believe that the book of Malachi has a message for us today, an important message that if we listen to, we will know what is God's will. Malachi means my messenger. Does God need messengers today? Yes, he does. He needs messengers. And we know very little about the author of the book of Malachi, except that verse 1 tells us that the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. And that is all we know from this prophet, from this man of God. He received the word of the Lord, and this word was intended for God's people, Israel. Now it's interesting, because by this time Israel was not in the picture anymore. Judah had been taken captive to Babylon. They had come out of Babylon. They had returned to Jerusalem. During the times of the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, they had built this temple that God had asked them to build. God wanted to live in their midst. And this temple was completed. Amen? It was completed. They had finished this building. But here it mentions that the word of the Lord to whom? To Israel. Who is Israel? Where is Israel? Had they been destroyed long ago in the year 722? The city of Samaria had been devastated by the Assyrians. This message is for all who claim to be God's people. Amen? A message for God's people. A message that you and I have heard. A message that starts off in verse 2 by saying, I have loved you. Have you heard that before? I have loved you. Important words. These words are not enough, are they? You expect something to go with it. Maybe in some of your cases is, I love you, therefore I'm going to wash the dishes. I love you, therefore I'm going to wash the clothes. I love you, this is why I'm going to listen to you. I'll take time to be with you. We expect action with that phrase, I love you. Had God done something for his people? He had done everything possible to bring his people back to this city. He had done everything possible to share with them how much he loved them. And God continues asking a question as if he were a teacher, as if he were trying somehow to convince his people about his love. He says, "How hast thou loved us?" you might ask. "Was not Esau Jacob's brother?" declares the Lord. "Yet I have loved Jacob. I have chosen Jacob." Who is Jacob? Was he always good? Did he always behave? Was he the brightest, the most handsome, the best of the family? No, he had tricked his dad, tricked his brother, ran away from home. And in his running away from home, in his exhaustion, he fell asleep on a stone and he had a dream where God revealed to him that he would be with him. And from that day, Jacob believed what God told him and he followed God wherever he would lead. In fact, God told him, "Go back to your people." He was going back. And before encountering his brother Esau, he wrestled with God and said, "I will not let you go. Take everything from me, everything, but I will not let you go." Isn't that the response we all wish when somebody says, "I love you"? I love you. And what does the person want to hear back? "I love you too. I will love you too." And Jacob had said that to God. "Yes, God, I love you too. I will not let go of you." But that was not the case with Esau, the strong one in the family. He did whatever he pleased. And so God said, "I will reject you. I will let you do whatever you want, but you will be destroyed." In fact, verse 4 gives us a picture of how he was going to destroy Esau, how he was going to destroy Edom. And then verse 5 tells us, "And your eyes will see this, and you will say, 'The Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel.'" When you see this, when you see that Jacob does continue to prosper, does continue to exist, and Edom is rejected to the point that you cannot find an Edomite today, you will know that there is a God who knows our present and knows our future. There is a God who cares, who loves you, and invites you to have a relationship with him. And it says in verse 5, "The Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel." Meaning that God would be blessed, would be magnified, not only in Israel, but in the entire world. Amen? Are you part of this? Are you here to praise God? Are you here to worship him? I hope you're not here to listen to me. But I hope you've come this morning to study God's word, to learn from it, and to follow what it says. God had a message. And the message that he had for his people was not just for everybody. This message was specifically for the priests, the ones who served in the temple, the ones who were supposed to bring sacrifices before God, the ones who were supposed to intercede on behalf of God's people, the ones who were supposed to instruct, teach God's people about God's law, about what he had done for them. But sadly, this was not the case. This was not happening in Malachi's time. Somehow the priest had gotten a little tired. Verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is what? Where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised thy name? Verse 7, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar, but you say, how have we defiled thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. Verse 8, but when you present the blind for sacrifice, is not that evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is not that evil? The priest in their service to God were sacrificing the lame, the blind, the sick. Is that what they were supposed to do? Not at all. They were going against what God had said in his law. In fact, look what verse 13 tells us. You also say, my, how boring it is. How tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand? Says the Lord. What are you bringing to me? Is this the way you want to worship? Is this the way you treat a king? The God of the universe? Going back to verse 8 in the second half says, why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten who I am? If you have, verse 14 tells us, I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. My name is what? Feared among the nations. In America, they will know my name. In Mexico, they will know my name. In Europe, they will know my name because I am a great king. And if this were little, verse 11 tells us something very important. For from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nation, says the Lord of hosts. What is God's name? Who is he? Do you know him? His name is Jesus. That is his name. And he came to save you, and he came to save me. God had a few things to tell to these priests. Important ones found in chapter 2, verse 1 and on. And now this commandment is for you, O priest. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. If you listen, that word Shema, if you will obey, if you will pay attention and put these words in your heart, this will give me honor more than all the sacrifices that you could bring to me. In fact, the prophet Micah centuries before had said, what can I bring to God? Can I bring 1,000 rams? Can I bring 1,000 sheep? Well, bring honor to his name? Will that be a sign of worship to this king of the universe who owns everything on this earth? Will this be an appropriate offering to him? And God responded to Micah, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If you will listen, priests, if you will take it to heart, if you don't, I will send a curse upon you, and even your blessings will be a curse to you and to the people. Verse 3, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces and refuse on your feast, and you will be taken away from it. This time God is going to do what? Put refuse. The word there is vomit. That was which is not digested, but is in your stomach. That will be upon you, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment. What was the role of the priest? Verse 4 tells us in the second half, to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. This is the covenant I made with you, priests. This is the covenant I made with my servant Pinea when he stood up for what was right, when he said, I will not let that to continue to happen. And he went and killed someone who was openly going against God's will. He made a covenant with the tribe of Levi. He made a covenant with the priest, and this is the covenant. Verse 5, my covenant with him was one of life and of peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction, or the law of truth, was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should what? Preserve knowledge. And men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Who is the messenger of the Lord of hosts? We say Jesus. He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Does he have a message to share? Yes, he has a message to share, an instruction to give his people. Last week during Sabbath school, Mike shared with the class here that we are what, Mike? We are a royal priesthood. You might have thought, well, Pastor, this was not a message for me. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor. But God calls us his priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? We were called to be royal priests, to proclaim the good news that Jesus is Lord of lords and kings of kings. Amen? That Jesus is coming again. We were called with a purpose to preserve knowledge and also to seek instruction from his mouth. But the priests, verse 8 tells us, they had turned aside from the way. They had turned aside from the law. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction that you gave them. you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. Is everything that God says important, brothers and sisters? If God says, thou shalt not steal, is that important? Honor your father and your mother, is that important? Remember the seventh day to keep it holy, is that important? All of God's commandments were supposed to be instructed, but the priests had turned aside from the way. They had despised the instructions that they had received. Is worship only about our relationship with God? Or is worship also about our relationship with one another? What do you think? It's about both. Worship is about relationships. And in this context of covenant language, where God tells them, I will bless you, or I will curse you. What God was seeking was what? A relationship, a truthful relationship. He was saying, I love you. Believe it or not, that is also covenant language. I love you, Jacob. I've done so much to just prove my love to you. What else do you want to see? Do you want to see me on a cross? In shame? In pain? To prove my love? I'll do that. I'll show you. I love you. I care about you. You're the most important thing in this entire universe. What was happening with these priests was not only that they were defiling themselves, they were defiling, it says, verse 11, the sanctuary. They were bringing in foreign gods already into the temple. They were breaking the covenant with God through their sacrifices. But the promise that they had made to their spouse, to their wife, they were breaking it. They were acting treacherously one against the other. And still, verse 13 says, you still cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. You still ask, why? Why aren't things working? Why? Why am I suffering? And you have broken this covenant, this sacred covenant with your wife. And you've broken your covenant with me. Is it possible for us who live today to be that royal priesthood and to fulfill the promise given to the tribe of Levi that they would proclaim the excellencies of God's love to a world in darkness? Could it be possible that God could use me, that God could use you to share this important message to a world that is dying to hear it? Verse 15 is a verse that gives me hope. And it says the following, but not one has done so who has a remnant of what? Of the Spirit. And what did the one do while he was seeking what? A godly seed. Two characteristics of people who will stand up for what is true, who will be true messengers in the time of the end. They will have God's Spirit. It might seem like it's a remnant. It might seem like it's small. It might seem like, where is God's Spirit in all this? But they will have His Spirit. And they will be seeking for the godly offspring. They will be seeking for who? For Jesus' soon return. That's going to be a characteristic of this new priesthood. They will be faithful to the covenant that was made to them through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and especially through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? A royal priesthood. Those who express true instruction, who there's no unrighteousness found in their lips, who walk with God in peace and uprightness, and turn many back from iniquity. Yes, those who preserve knowledge and who seek instruction from God's mouth. Isn't that what the world is also looking for, brothers and sisters? People who are willing to stand for the truth, who are willing to say, God, use me. God, teach me. God, help me to listen to you. God, help me to put these instructions in my heart, not on a wall in my home. I want those instructions, those laws written in my heart. Isn't that what we all want, brothers and sisters? If we do that, that is the best worship service you could give God. If I treat my wife with care, with love, with respect, best worship ever. If I treat my neighbor as myself, best worship ever. If I go out of my way to help somebody who's in need, best worship ever. If I do what is right, what is correct, best worship ever. That is the type of worship that God is seeking, that God is wanting from His royal priesthood. Amen? And you and I are invited to be part of it. May God bless us. May His Holy Spirit reach inside of us and make us true messengers for His honor and glory. Amen.